Welcome back to the Dealmakers Podcast Show with serial entrepreneur Alejandro Cremades, best-selling author of The Art of Startup Fundraising and co-founder at Panthera Advisors. In this podcast, we ask our guests about their successful acquisitions and financing rounds.
Alrighty, hello everyone and welcome to the Dealmakers Show. So today we have a very exciting founder. You know, we're going to be talking about building, scaling. We're going to talk about the importance of vision, you know, and how she goes about really developing the vision for the companies that she's founded, especially the last one. You know, the vision that she had, you know, has really been the foundation for a company that has been able to raise over $250 million. We're going to be talking about also the Filipino, you know, ecosystem, you know, when it comes to startups. And other good stuff, you know, that we like to hear typically. I mean, we're talking about a cancer survivor, you know, that not only, you know, was dealing, you know, with that fight, but then also with the fight of building a company all in parallel. So brace yourself for a very inspiring episode. And without further ado, let's welcome our guest today, Liesa Deinan. Welcome to the show.
Hi, Alejandro.
So originally born and raised in the Philippines, Liesa, so give us a walk through memory lane. How was life growing up over there?
Oh, life in the Philippines was hot and full of traffic. I was born and raised in Manila. I was blessed to be, you know, have parents who are very loving and caring and truly supported my growth from when I was a child. I went to a science high school and got and received a full scholarship. And that became my launchpad, so to speak, to receive a full scholarship as well in Ateneo de Manila University, where I joined in an honors program. That was a bachelor, and where I received a bachelor's degree in chemistry. That was a great time. That was really great time. I was supported by loving parents, loving extended family, and a loving community. Both in school and also in our neighborhood. There was a lot of love and support growing up.
So how do you get into the whole sciences and chemistry? Because I mean, obviously you ended up doing pretty well in this domain and you ended up getting a full scholarship with the university there in Manila. But how do you start getting into this? How did the love start to spark for this?
I fell in love with the sciences when I was in college. The Ateneo de Manila University Chemistry Department gave me the opportunity to work with the only mass spectrometer instrument in the entire country. And it felt like I was working with Legos, which is my favorite toy growing up. You know, there were like puzzles that I need to piece together to figure out the structure of a molecule. I fell in love with that. And yeah, Ateneo gave me the opportunity all the way to my post-bachelor's degree, where I work in the National Chemistry Instrumentation Center. And that was the beginning. My professors in that university mentored me to become a better scientist, to aspire for more advanced degree outside the Philippines. And then eventually hoping that, you know, I'll be able to give back to our department and, of course, to our country.
So then talk to us about after university, too, because, I mean, you do your degree there, full scholarship there in Manila, like incredible, you know, the way that things were shaping up, you know, and then, you know, after this, you become a professor, you know, associated mm-hmm. there with the university. But essentially, you know, like what happened is that you were encouraged to come to the U.S. and mm-hmm. you were encouraged to come to the U.S. to do a PhD. And it's amazing how the choices that we make, you know, end up putting us into different paths. But in this case, it put you into a path of tremendous growth. So tell us, how did you take advantage of this opportunity and how was it like coming to the U.S.?
Oh my, that was a big challenge coming to the U.S. because I pretty much flipped my life upside down, but very focused in achieving my dream, right? To be a hardcore mass spectrometrist and learn the world of biochemistry and biomolecules. So what did I do? I really focused. I remained focused with the vision to get my PhD and learn as much as I can. Luckily, at that time, there was growing innovative technology already happening in this space. So I keep learning. I followed my passion, and that brought me into the world of drug development. That interest became, together with my experience in the Philippines, became my leverage to get into the drug development industry.
So obviously there, you know, you were for you know, whatever amount of time that took to really get your, you know, PhD. But then right after that, it's like you get into the whole world, as you were saying, of drug development, you know, the whole corporate, you know, and business side of things. So how did the things, you know, like really develop? Because, I mean, there were like certain, you know, stages and cycles that you needed to go through on the business side of things, you know, like first with Lancaster, then with Genentech, then with Suntro, you know, all the way towards a very pivotal moment for you, which was the amount, you know, of time that you spent at Stemcentrics, but then also the crazy outcome, you know, where that company got acquired for $6 billion. So what were that sequence of events that leaded you, you know, all the way to Centrix, and then, you know, which would eventually allow you to become a founder?
Yeah, you know, like when you're an immigrant, you stay focused to the dream, right? Like you remain focused on the passion. You try to as much as possible. I was surrounded by love growing up. So I channeled all of that love to my passions in what I was doing. You know, that has always been in my heart. Even when, you know, you're operating like a robot. So you go through the motions of whatever the universe was presenting to you in a silver platter, the job opportunity at Lancaster Laboratories as principal scientist. And then being moved from Eurofins Lancaster Laboratories, I was brought to Genentech as my primary client, still interacting. Still doing mass spectrometry, but interacting with many very talented scientists at Genentech as my clients. And then from there, I was recruited by Sutro Biopharma, again, serving a silver platter, still doing the same work, bringing in mass spectrometry to develop novel drugs. That was a great experience, and I love the culture of Sutro Biopharma. It really opened my eyes. But how biotech startups are my niche. I love working for small companies. I love working with small companies. There's so much innovation. There's so much learning. There's so much opportunity to grow. And I gravitated towards that. And then eventually from that experience at Sutro Biopharma, I was recruited again by another biotech startups. And this time, Stemcentrics gave me my dream job as head of mass spectrometry. And I, no matter how, you know, Sutro tried to convince me to stay, asking for like the three things I want in order to stay: more stocks, more salary, a brand new instrument, and in jokingly a luxury car. I said no to them because Stemcentrics gave me my dream job. And I had to gently say no to my boss at Sutro because I knew that there's something really groundbreaking that was presented to me again in a silver platter. Like, I realized at that time, Alejandro, that if I apply for a job, I don't get it. But I have to listen to the jobs that were presented in front of me by the people around me. Previous colleagues, but by friends in the industry. And yeah, timing is just, it's just amazing. And with Stemcentrics, right? Like the when Aldi acquired Stemcentrics, that was a real eye-opening experience. It felt like I was starting to wake up. Stemcentrics was a catalyst in my life. It helped me wake up from operating like a robot. it elevated, you know, it elevated my awareness in so many different levels in just those 3.5 years I spent at STEMcentrics. Yeah, that was a truly inspirational experience.
It really got your awareness about the venture world, because this was the most immediate step to you becoming an entrepreneur. So tell us, how was that transition? Like, at what point, how did you incubate it, you know, the idea, you know, for the company, for Intervent? And then how all of a sudden you find yourself being an entrepreneur and founding a business?
Right. So, you know, that experience and exposure at STEMcentrics helped me understand at the molecular level the entire drug development process, right? From target discovery to developing drugs, scaling up the drug development process, the drug manufacturing process from research grade to like mid-size scale, all the way to hundreds of liters for supporting clinical trials. And mass spec is involved in every step of the way. And so, you know, that was quite an experience. It was quite an eye-opening experience. The important aspect of going through that motion, right, while going through the sciences, was the behavior, the mindset, and of my colleagues and our bosses. The mentors, our mentors, while we became employees of that company, were actually helping us open our eyes into entrepreneurship as early as that. Peter Thiel was an inspirational speaker. Jimmy Chin was an inspirational speaker. The team lead that who successfully killed Bin Laden, Osama Bin Laden, was our inspirational speaker in one of our quarterly meetings. So our former CEO, our former CSO, and the, you know, management team of STEMcentrics helped us wake up to become entrepreneurs. And a tidbit of information, they were very successful in doing it, because out of 150 employees, 15 startups already came out of the STEMcentrics community. And in the past 2 weeks, two became unicorns. Two were acquired as unicorns. So that unicorn are producing more unicorns because we were all exposed to the unicorn mindset. So it was a great experience, and really so grateful to Brian Slingerland, Scott Dilla, and Dan Reiner. These are the CEOs, CSOs, and president of the company.
Hey guys, so pardon the interruption here. So I got to tell you that, you know, for those of you that are either looking to raise money or you're looking to get your company acquired, you don't have to be alone. You know, there's a lot of psychology that needs to be blended with strategy, with methodology, with process. And it's very hard, and already doing your business alone is super, super difficult. So I remember, you know, back then when I was an entrepreneur, I kept really experiencing the challenge of either knowing or finding the right type of access to the right type of investors, or really understanding what was the right type of guidance, you know, that would carry me through the process, whether it was with seeking money or with going through the acquisition. So that gap that I found being an entrepreneur is ultimately what pushed me later on, when I met my co-founder at Pantera, Mike Severson, to really put together an advisory firm where we are guiding entrepreneurs and founding teams through the capital raising efforts, whether you are at a seed stage or at a Series A stage, or if you are going through the process of an acquisition and you are in small to mid-cap type of a cycle. So again, you know, we would help you from guiding you and supporting you from A to C all the way to the end as an extension of your team. And there's no reason for you to do this alone. So with that being said, if you would like to find out more, feel free to send me an email at alejandro@panteraadvisors.com. And we would love to take a look at helping you out.
And obviously for Intervent, the vision, you know, in which you guys, you know, built, you know, the whole thing was pivotal, you know, for the company to be able to get to where it has, gotten. So What were the fundamental, you know, pillars of that vision?
Yeah, the vision was, we at STEMcentrics, there was an acknowledgement that we're running out of drug targets. So in my mind, based on my interaction with multiple professors in graduate school, I know that glycobiology is an untapped field. The glycoproteome is an untapped field for where targets can be identified. And, you know, it just dawned on me, like, why are drug development companies not looking into the world of the glycoproteome for identifying drug targets? Why is glycobiology not more experimented at the industry level? Like in academia, you know, glycobiology is very well studied, but not in industry, not at Genentech, not at Sutro, not at STEMcentrics. Based on my knowledge, glycobiology was untapped. So it dawned on me that I should be reaching out to my former professors at UC Davis and former collaborators at UC Davis. So I brought in Professor Carlito Librilla and then also Professor Carolyn Bertozzi to start a new company. And we had a fourth co-founder, Aldo Carrascoso, who is a startup entrepreneur, a serial startup entrepreneur, and in the tech industry. So together, the four of us started Intervent. The visioning was, again, the realization that glycobiology is untapped for target discovery, for clinical diagnostics. So this needs to be explored at the industry level so that there'll be more successful drugs out there.
So eventually, you know, the company Intervent ended up becoming a really big success, you know, over $250 million and doing incredible stuff. Now, on your end, you know, once an entrepreneur, always an entrepreneur. So you ended up turning page. And in order to, you know, open up the next page, which become Liveritas. So what are you guys up to at Liveritas? You know, what's the business model there?
Oh, we are quite, Liveritas is quite something. It's a culmination of all of the experiences I had in drug development and also starting an AI glycoproteomics company at Intervent. What we're doing is we're streamlining one of the most tedious aspects of drug development, which is analytical testing for quality, for safety, and for efficacy. Usually, an instrument called mass spectrometer is used for this purpose. But mass spec is not streamlined. Mass spec analysis is not streamlined. The tools, the software tools available right now are fragmented. And what we do at Liveritas is to connect all of these fragmented tools through an integration platform called Lily, and we spice it up with different AI tools to speed up the entire testing process. So it's pretty much an automation play. It's pretty much an operation efficiency play. And so we have multiple business models. We have the service business model, which I call my Trojan horse. For 4 years, we cover, you know, while we are developing our technology, we present to the world our service business model. We call it loosely mass spec as a service. Straightforward. We cater to all aspects of drug development for drug quality, safety, and efficacy testing. And this year, finally, we are able to present more about our platform, our AI platform we call Lily. Lily stands for Laboratory Integration and Intelligence, and it has multiple functions for digital transformation, testing workflow integration, for predictive analytics, and also automation. And, you know, it's a brainchild of multiple biopharma advisors, team members, consultants, my friends from the industry. The face of the company is me, but since Liveritas is the ikigai, it's an ikigai expression of who I am as a scientist and as a human being, I bring in a lot of my friends from the Philippines, from the United States, from Ateneo, from the Science High School, from the mass spec community, and from the biopharma community to create the AI brain of Lilly. And so the goal is to automate and streamline the entire process so that drug developers, the biopharma scientists, can be equipped with mass spec data, unambiguous, high-quality mass spec data in a timely manner, instead of waiting for 2 weeks, 1 month, 3 months. We will turn around data within days. And the goal is to make it less than 2 days from the time they submit their samples. That's what Liveritas is all about.
Now, one thing that is incredible is, you know, with Liveritas, at the same time that you were pushing and building the business, you were also, you know, dealing with cancer. You know, how were you able to really, you know, push through both, you know, fights, you know, at the same time in the way that you've done?
Oh my gosh. First, again, you know, growing up surrounded by love and care and support, that's pretty much what I did as well. I surrounded myself with the best co-founders and founding team members who are willing to step up and take on the reins while I was dealing with my cancer diagnosis and chemotherapy. Personally, so I'm very grateful for all of them. My investors, also from the biopharma industry and the mass spec industry, who've known me for a while, they were so caring and supportive. So it's truly grateful for them. So, but personally, you know, I had to do some kind of like a mindset, mind trick ninja, right? Like you have to be prepared for the worst. What I did was, after I found out that I had cancer, I had to switch to project management mode. Maybe I freaked out for about an hour, and then realized, nope, this is just going to be another project. So what am I going to do when I'm managing a project? I surround myself with experts. So I went ahead and started reaching out to my personal friends. Well, my personal friends are also my biopharma friends and my friends from the science high school and from the Bay Area. So I was surrounded by cancer survivors. I surrounded myself with cancer survivors, with hematologist, oncologist experts from my science high school. And also my family friend, who is a professor at Stanford University, and he was the president as well of the American Society of Hematology. So I was literally, you know, one phone call away all the time to connect with experts and answer my and ask my questions. So that's step one for project management, right? Surround myself with experts, find the right people who will guide me through the process. And they helped me identify the best treatment for my illness. So I was diagnosed with classical Hodgkin's lymphoma. And luckily, one of the drugs that, you know, one of the novel drugs that's been out there helping cure disease called, antibody drug conjugates, that's my expertise. I help develop antibody drug conjugates. There was already an antibody drug conjugate developed for my cancer. And surprisingly, well, not surprisingly, but this is like, again, serving a silver platter. One of the investors of Liveritas was a developer of the drug that was given to me. So, you know, my doctors, my friend doctors, and also my oncologist provided me with the guidance on the clinical trials that was basis for the treatment. And then so I talked to my investor And he said, yes, that's the drug that I helped develop. And check out more of this information about its efficacy, its safety. The side effects are very important to understand, but the side effects are minor. So go ahead and talk to your oncologist and make sure you will get this drug instead of what was being offered back then. So, you know, I guess the lesson learned from that experience was when you operate in love, in and you operate in passion, right? Love for learning, your passion for mass spec, your passion for biologics, your passion for helping patients through developing antibody drug conjugates. This type of drug will also help you get cured. So that was a great moment in my life and realizing why I have so many friends. And why I surrounded myself with many friends, and I made a lot of friends along the way, in the Philippines and also here in the United States.
Community, nothing like it. Eh? So let's say I'm able to, put you into a time machine and I bring you back in time to, let's say, a world, you know, where you're like now thinking about starting your first company. Let's say, you know, back in, I don't know, like when you were like about to give the notice there in 2017 from StemCentrics. Okay. And let's say you're able to stop that younger Liesa and give that younger Liesa one piece of advice before launching a business. What would that be? What would that one piece of advice be and why?
Make sure your heart, mind, and body are aligned. One piece of advice.
That's it. I love it. So Liesa, for the people that are listening that would love to reach out and say hi, what is the best way for them to do so?
You can find me in Facebook and you can find me in LinkedIn. Message me. I'll definitely respond. I'm happy to share with you all of my lessons learned. Cancer became my catalyst as well. It is what I call my most obnoxious teacher. Happy to share with you what I learned. There's so much eye-opening experience I've experienced in the past 7 years of my life. Happy to share with you these things. You don't need to have cancer in order for you to realize them. Ask a question.
There you go. So, Liesa, thank you so much for being on the Dealmaker Show today. It has been an absolute honor to have you with us.
Thank you so much, Alejandro, for this opportunity. This is a great platform.
If you like the show, make sure that you hit that subscribe button. If you could leave a review as well, that would be fantastic. And if you got any value, either from this episode or from the show itself, share it with a friend. Perhaps they also appreciate it. So also remember that if you need any help, whether it is with your fundraising efforts or with selling your business, you can reach me at alejandro@pantheraadvisors.com.
You've reached the end of another episode of the Dealmakers Podcast. For free resources and materials, head over to alejandrocremades.com. Thank you for listening, and see you at the next episode.